Remarks of the President, Muskegon, Michigan, 30 October 1952.
Thank you very, very much. You know, it's very, very hard for me to understand what's taking place in this campaign and in the country. I have never, in the history of this country, and I'm rather familiar with it, known of a has-been drawing so many people to hear what he has to say. Now, I'm very glad to be here in Muskegon this morning. It was a pleasure to me to have your governor and your candidate for senator and their families on the train this morning. I know that Michigan is going to return both of them to office. And they should, because you've had a good administration under Governor Williams. And Blair Moody has been a real representative for you in the Senate of the United States. I understand that this is the first time a president of the United States has come to Muskegon. And I want to thank you for coming out here to greet your president at this time of day. In the past 2 months, I have traveled 17,000 miles and made 200 speeches. I've met with crowds like this in cities and towns from coast to coast. And all of them have been interested in hearing about the issues in this election. I want to tell you why I decided to come out here and work so hard in this campaign. The future of this great country of ours is at stake in this election. The future of the whole free world is at stake. I know it in my heart. And I want you to think and pray about it. I've been trying to get people to think. I've been trying to tell people the facts, and I have told them the facts, and all I want them to do is to think about those facts. You are faced with a great decision on Tuesday, the most important decision, in my opinion, that's faced the country since the Civil War. Are you going to turn back the clock by electing the old guard Republicans? Are you going to move forward with prosperity? Are we going to go soft in our struggle against communism and communist aggression, as the Republican old guard wants? Or are we going ahead with our defense programs and win the fight for peace? We're fighting in Korea today to keep from fighting here on United States soil tomorrow. So far, we have won that fight and prevented a third world war. We ought to be eternally proud and grateful for what our soldiers have done over there. And I tell you, I am proud of them. And we ought to back them up and make our defenses and our allies stronger. But if we follow the advice of the Republicans, we'll weaken our defenses and let communism take over the world. When I leave the White House next January, I want to see this great republic of ours in safe hands. I want to see as President of the United States a man who will fight for the general welfare of the average man, just as Franklin Roosevelt and I have fought for the last 20 years. I want to see as President of the United States a man who will fight for lasting peace. My friends, that man's Adlai Stevenson of Illinois. The Democratic Party has done great things for the people of this country in the past 20 years. We gave you Social Security, minimum wage laws, sound farm programs, and full employment. That's what the New Deal and the Fair Deal mean to you. Try to think of just one thing the Republican Party has done to advance your interests. You'll have a hard time finding it. The Republicans have fought against the New Deal and the Fair Deal, and against just about everything we've done for the welfare of the people. But we have made great progress in spite of them. You don't have to take my word for it. Let me read you something from a magazine that's no friend of mine, and very few of the slick magazines are friends of mine, or the Democratic Party either. This is from the October 18th issue of Business Week, a magazine that is read mostly by Republicans. The article points out that 10% of the people at the very top of the economic scale get a smaller portion of the national income than they used to, and the other 90% of the people get more of it. This means that most of the people are better off than ever before, and the magazine points out that this is due to the things your government has been doing. Now let me read to you from Business Week. Here it is, and you can get it yourself and check me up on this. High levels of employment have put millions of jobless onto somebody's payroll. Cut employment to rock unemployment to rock bottom. In addition, the number of women workers has jumped sharply, giving many low-income families a double paycheck. Farm prosperity has lifted a whole economic class out of the bottom brackets and into the middle class. Many marginal holdings have been abandoned, built up, or merged into some income-producing units. There are fewer farm families now, and they all make a lot more as a result of machinery, fertilizer, government supports, and high demand. The unionization of labor and government policy on wages have boosted the bottom bracket incomes. At the same time, they have caught many businesses in a vice that has squeezed down profits. Labor has used its new economic strength to take a bigger slice of the economic pie for itself. Welfare programs, unemployment compensation, Social Security and the like, fatten up family incomes that otherwise might shrink to the vanishing point. Now there you have it. There you have it. In the words of an opposition magazine, that's what the Democratic Party means to you. So, my friends, when you go to the polls on Tuesday, think of the welfare of this great country of yours, the welfare of this United States, the greatest and the most powerful republic in the history of the world, is at stake. The welfare of the free world is at stake. And there's another thing that you ought to think about, and that's why I'm going around the country. I'm trying to get you to do a little thinking for yourselves. Your own welfare is at stake. Your own welfare is at stake. If you study the record, all I want you to do is to read the record of the Republicans in the Congress, because that's where the policy is made. Read the record of the Democrats in the Congress, and then, when you do that, you'll join John H. Piercy, you'll send John H. Piercy to Congress, you'll re-elect your fighting liberal team, Senator Blair Moody and Governor Menin Williams, and you will send Adlai Stevenson to the White House, and we'll have 4 more years of good government in your interest.